Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is from Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin.
Well, good morning and welcome to our online service this morning. We are really grateful that you are with us as we continue in the book of Romans. I really hope you're doing okay. You know, I know it's been a challenging week, especially for families, as many of us have our kids that are homeschooling, and that is a stretch, you know. It's not easy when your kids are at home and you're suddenly their teacher, or basically just doing what the school tells you to do. And it's almost traumatic. Well, it was for me this week. I was coming home from the office, just got through the front door, put my belongings on the hall stand, and Caleb, my 11-year-old, was like, "Dad, can you help me?" So I go off to his bedroom, and he looks at me with his "Dad, can you help me?" eyes, and he says, "Dad, what is a root verb?" I stood there, and I looked blank. And what was really bad is that I grabbed for Siri and Siri wasn't there. I couldn't get Siri. So I was all alone in this very brave world and I didn't know what to do. So I just said, "Well, a root verb is when you plant a verb, you water it with a pronoun, fertilize it with an adjective, and you get this beautiful grammar tree." And Caleb just looks at me and is like, "Dad, seriously, what time's mum home?" You know, it's been a challenging week, and we are sailing into some tricky waters, but we know that God is with us, and I have some really great news for you today. Like, seriously, I have the best news for you. And here it is. God's grace is sufficient for all of us today. In fact, His power is made perfect when we are weak. So if you are feeling weak today, if you're struggling like I am, then I've got some great news. It's in our weakness that we can actually experience the power of God when we call upon the name of Jesus. And today, as we continue into our series in the book of Romans, I couldn't help but also think about this metaphor of sailing. You know, we are sailing into tricky waters. I've only ever really had one great experience of sailing before. I'd love to go sailing again. If you've got a boat, I'd love to come out with you. Just invite me. I'm coming. It's a great experience when those sails fill up with air and there's no noise. No noise of the motor. And you're just gliding along and the boat goes on one side and the rail of the boat, it just plows through the waves. It's a really freeing experience. And yet it's really interesting, though, that if a boat is in water for too long, then barnacles begin to build up on the boat's hull, under the waterline where you can't see. And those barnacles, well, they create all sorts of problems. It'll slow the vessel down. And eventually, if those barnacles are unattended, then in the end, the hull will start to leak and the boat will kind of sink. Well, in a similar way, I want you to imagine that our soul is like a vessel sailing in the ocean of life. And when we get hit by storms and when life's challenges come on us, you know, it's very tempting for us to gravitate towards sin in order to self-medicate, to cope with what we're struggling. But sin will become a barnacle on our soul. And the consequences of sin so often is under the waterline where no one can see. I think that we try to medicate with sin to the point where that barnacle will, it'll slow us down in faith. And ultimately, nothing good comes out of sinful habits in our life because our soul will eventually leak. Our relationships will be strained. Our mental and emotional health will erode. We can't get any healing through sin. And what we want to do today is a really simple message. I've titled this message, "The Struggle is Real." The struggle is real. Here we're going to look at Romans chapter 7 and Paul, well, it's titled in my Bible, "Struggling with Sin." And so ultimately what happens when sin becomes a barnacles on our soul, slowing us down, effectively at times our soul can leak, then a boat needs to go up into dry dock. And when a boat goes up into dry dock, you can start to scrape off those barnacles. My challenge for us today is that we could be really honest with ourselves, really honest before God, and allow Romans chapter 7 to, I guess, take your soul into dry dock. I'd love for us to just invite the Holy Spirit in because it's really the power of the Holy Spirit that can start to scrape off those barnacles so that when we are refloated, we can sail with a greater freedom, because that's our vision. Freedom in Christ. And when we experience God's grace, which is sufficient for us, His power, which made perfect in our weakness and in our struggle, when we call upon the name of Jesus, the Spirit can scrape those barnacles off. And we can sail in the ocean of life with a greater freedom. That's our vision. And that's what our heart is today. But you know, the struggle with sin is real. And that's what I've titled this message today. I'm so glad that the Apostle Paul wrote these words down for us. He wrote this, "I am unspiritual," Paul says, "sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, this is what I do. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good." I'm so glad that the Apostle Paul wrote these verses because the struggle is real. And the waves and the storms of life, they certainly leave us a little battered. And if we think that we can self-medicate on sin, then it's only going to create more barnacles on our soul. And I think this is what happens is we have our family upbringing, our family of origin. Then we have painful life events. And we have Satan's temptation and his deception and his lies. He loves to shove us in the wrong direction. So our family of origin, painful events and struggles in life, Satan's lies, they all give us a shove in the wrong direction. And what ultimately happens is that we end up gravitating towards some sinful behaviors that create habits. And those sinful habits is what creates barnacles on our soul, slows us down. Our soul begins to leak. Sin will never heal you. Sin will only cause more strife, more trouble in your life. You see, we may gravitate towards greed, thinking that if we just have more and more things in our life, maybe to prove somebody wrong, that we have made it, we could be somebody. Greed, it'll never completely satisfy. Or maybe it's misplaced lust, thinking that we could flesh out in whatever sinful sexual desire we have, thinking that that will satisfy our cravings. But it doesn't. Or if we medicate using alcohol to numb our pain, then we think that might help, but in the end it leaves us with more regret. Or it could be anger and fleshy outbursts. Maybe it's passive-aggressive anger, where you give somebody the silent treatment, or you gossip or slander behind somebody's back, or maybe it is an explosion of rage, but it doesn't ultimately deal with what's happening deep within your soul. Sin will never heal your soul. Sin creates more and more trouble, more and more barnacles that slow us down. And these sinful habits, they create neural pathways in our brain, and those pathways become such strong habits that's really hard to break. And if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you also experience the Holy Spirit. So then the conflict intensifies within. We have the Spirit of God at work, but we also have three very powerful forces at work as well. There's our flesh, there's the world, and then there's the devil. And the Apostle Paul, he lived with this conflict of the Spirit and the power of God, and yet the struggle with sin. No wonder Paul wrote, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what's right." Paul says, "I don't do it. But what I hate, I end up doing." We get to experience the Spirit of God in us to make us Christ-like over our lifetime. And yet our own flesh has these desires that take us down a sinful pathway. And then the world, it bombards you with messages of you must have, you can't live without, you need to have this, you'll be happier if you have this. And then Satan does his best with these temptations, and then he lures you in saying, "Oh, did God really say? Just have it. You deserve. It's okay. It won't really harm you." He tempts you, then Satan turns on you. Have you noticed that? So then you start to indulge in sin, thinking that it's going to meet that deep need within you or the struggle that you have. We medicate with sin. We listen to Satan's lies. Then he turns on you and says, "How dare you? How could you do that? You can't be forgiven. Surely, surely you could never ever go back to church." Satan tempts you and then he turns on you. So the struggle is real. The Apostle Paul wrote this: "As it is no longer I myself who did it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." In other words, Paul says, "I keep on sinning. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it. It's sin. It's sin living in me." Good question, isn't it? Why do we keep doing what we don't want to do? Let's be really honest right now. This is the moment where, if we're really honest, we can let the Spirit of God take our soul up into dry dock so that the Spirit can start to shave off the barnacles of sin. Think about it with me. What are a couple of sinful habits that come to your mind right now? I can think of a few. Sinful habits that just keep reoccurring. And it's like those neural pathways are so strong and we just keep doing what we don't want to do, and we know that that sin is not good, but somehow we think that it's the only option or the best option. I want to encourage you in this thought that what is ultimately happening here? Well, I need the flip chart today. So I want to come with me over this side here. And let me just explain it this way. So often in life, we have what's called triggers. And these triggers, they create, I think, some deep turmoil within our soul that just really wants us to gravitate towards sin. So it could be an unmet need in your life. It could be failure in your life. Would you imagine that this boat, represents us, that this is our soul. This boat is us in the water of life. And traumatic events happen, so trauma. Or it could be boredom. Or it could be fear. It could be painful events. It could be just fatigue in life. Worry. Stress. There's plenty more. My biggest concern for us in lockdown is that once we're in isolation, these triggers can be magnified. So our worry can be magnified. Our stress can be magnified. Our trauma, our fear, unmet needs, fatigue. All of these triggers can be magnified. And what ultimately happens is that when there is a trigger bearing down on our soul, our eye, I'm going to do my best to draw an eye, and our eye begins to search for comfort and relief from these triggers bearing down on us. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, the whole body will be full of light." If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So when our eye sees and sees an opportunity for comfort because of a trigger, then our eye tells our head, and I'm just drawing the word head, and heart, tells our head and heart what to think and feel. And this is where sin is birthed. This is where our sinful desire comes from. It comes from our head and our heart, based on what we have seen. No wonder Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus Christ." But if we're really honest with ourselves, remember our soul up in dry dock. If we're really honest with ourselves, once these triggers bear down on our soul and we have seen a sinful opportunity to self-medicate, to find comfort and peace, usually our eye will tell our head and our heart, and it just overrides Scripture. I wish it wasn't that way, but it was certainly for the Apostle Paul, and that's why the struggle is real. No wonder Paul wrote, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." So ultimately, our head and our heart will tell our feet, our hands, and our tongue to sin. And that, I guess, births the sin, and we carry out. Our hands carry out, our feet carry us to our sin, our tongue takes us to sin, and then we try to medicate through sin, but it will never, ever, ever heal your soul. We will not experience a greater freedom from our sinful struggles until we actually deal first with these triggers. Let me ask you, what's your greatest fear right now? What's your greatest stress? What's your greatest worry? What are the painful events? What's the trauma? Whatever these triggers are for you, we need to deal with those triggers first, because what will happen is that as we medicate with sin, these barnacles will grow on our soul. And my fear for us right now in isolation, that these triggers will magnify, our eye will see, our head and heart will think and feel, our hands, feet and tongue will carry us off to sin, and potentially in isolation, more and more sinful barnacles can grow on our soul. And this is only going to slow you down in faith. Nothing good comes out of sinful habits in our life. So we need to deal with these triggers as much as we need to deal with the sinful habits. And you might not have seen it that way, but if we can deal with these triggers, you're going to take a good step in the right direction. I'll say about how we can do that in a few moments' time. But along with triggers, along with our own flesh, it's also what comes up from underneath the metaphorical ocean. And it's Satan's schemes. You see, Satan then has deception, and it comes from deep and bears up. Satan uses guilt. Satan uses lies. Satan will tempt us. Satan will use fear. So you can appreciate that as a disciple of Jesus, with our soul being, I guess, a vessel in the ocean of life, there's triggers that bear down on us, but there's also sinful temptation and Satan schemes that come up. So it's like this squeeze. That's why the struggle is real. There is this squeeze from what comes down and from what comes up. No wonder the eye is looking for comfort. No wonder we keep doing what we don't want to do. No wonder our head and our heart just wants to find relief. There is another way. The Apostle Paul writes this. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. What a wretched person I am, Paul says. Who will rescue me from the body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, there are so many days where I feel like what Paul is writing, what a wretched person I am. There's a trigger in my life, or there's upward pressure from dark evil forces. My eye has seen, my head has thought, my heart has felt, my hands and feet and tongue has carried me to sin. Barnacles build up, and there are days where I just also feel like a wretched brute beast before God. Who will save me? Who will save us? I love what Paul writes. Thanks be to Jesus Christ. You see, it's the Holy Spirit in us. It's being honest with ourselves. That is the only way. It always is. It's Jesus Christ. It's the cross of Jesus. That is the only way that we can experience a freedom from the struggle of sin, even though we will still struggle. I've been reading Hebrews in my quiet times, and I was sitting in this verse this week, and I found it such a rich comfort. The writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 2, verse 18. Because he himself, Jesus Christ, suffered when he was tempted. Jesus is able to help those who are being tempted. You are not alone in your struggle with sin. Jesus didn't just easily skate through life. No, Jesus was tempted like we are, but was completely obedient. And he lived a life that we can't, but he gets it. He knows what it is to struggle with sin. And we can reach out and call upon his name. We can invite Jesus into the struggle. You know, for me, in my own life, in my wrestle with sin, there are four things that I really try to embrace when it comes to allowing the Spirit to shave off those barnacles. And the first is this: it's just to confess your sin. Daily to confess, to name what that sin is. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me for. You know, when we confess our sin before God, it's like the door of heaven opens. God loves the confession and the truth and the honesty. He will never turn you away. Remember, His grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in weakness. So when we feel like that wretched person before God, remember, grace is always ahead of sin. And when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us. But secondly, I think, and what I try to do, is invite the Holy Spirit into the wounded areas of your life. That is so important. We confess our sin and we invite the Holy Spirit into the wounded areas. I mentioned before, we need to deal with these triggers. If there's an unmet need in your life, invite the Holy Spirit. If there's trauma, if there's fear, what is your stress and worry? Name it. Just ask, Holy Spirit, I invite you in. Invite the Spirit into the triggers of your life, where there is struggle. Invite the Spirit into where there's woundedness. Thirdly, for me, I need a good Christian friend that I can trust. Somebody that I can express my struggle with. Somebody who will listen and not judge. Somebody who will pray for me. Somebody who will actually say, not just, Paul, how is the pastor going? But Paul, how's the husband going? How's Paul the dad going? How's Paul the friend going? Oh yeah, and how's Paul the pastor going? I need a good Christian friend in my corner. And at times, the fourth thing for me is I need the skill of a good counselor. These four dynamics at work are real powerful dynamics for change. We confess our sin. We invite the Spirit into where we are wounded. We lean on a good friend, a good Christian friend. And sometimes we need the skill of a good counselor. And if you take that seriously, what I really, really love is because of the power of the Holy Spirit, these barnacles will be shaved off. And the power of Satan will be more and more diminished in your life. Jesus said these five words, He has no hold on me. Six. He has no hold on me, and he's got no hold on us, Satan, at all. Satan's lies will be defeated because of the power of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God can heal our wounded triggers. And then we can then take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. But it takes hard work. It doesn't just happen. Confess our sin. That's where it starts. Over this isolation time, we've got one last thing as we go into a time of worship. Pastor Sam put me onto Chosen. And it's a series about the life of Jesus Christ. And it's not on Netflix, Disney, Stan. You just need to get out your phone, go onto the App Store, Android, whatever you got. We watch it on, Shell and I have been watching it on the iPad. It's completely free. Chosen. Download it, and it's got two seasons. We're like episode five. And it covers the life of Jesus. I have never seen something so dynamic. And you know what? It's like I feel like I'm falling in love with Jesus again. Can I encourage you in this isolation time? Don't medicate with sin. Sin will never heal you. Fall in love with Jesus. Run to Jesus. Invite Jesus in. Confess your sin. Call a good friend. Call on a counselor. But fall in love with Jesus again. You know, the first three episodes were very much about the infancy narratives of Jesus, so there's a lot of imagination there. I mean, like episode four or five, and it is doing wonders for my soul. And I just want to encourage you to download Chosen, fall in love with Jesus, don't medicate with sin, because God's got something much better for you when we listen to Him. We can overcome the struggle of sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's it. We need God because the struggle's real. Let me pray. Our Father, we just thank you for this time that we could be honest with ourselves before you. I thank you, Lord, that you do not want barnacles on our soul slowing us down. You do not want our souls to leak. Rather, you want us to be whole, sailing with great freedom. God, the struggle is real. And so often we do what we don't want to do. Holy Spirit, would you come into our life, especially into the wounded areas? Lord, would you help us to stand against Satan's lies and deception? Father, across this isolated time, Lord, would you help us to not medicate with sin? Rather, would you enable us to lift our eyes and to look to you? And to fall in love with you, Jesus, again and again and again. Lord, where we are struggling with sin the most, we want to invite you in. Would you help us to overcome? In Jesus' name, amen.